So we want to take a look at the Rambam Hilchas Megillah, and we're going to focus our attention on a few different Rambams, one of which is Perek Alef Halacha Hey. And here the Rambam talks about a person who's writing a Megillah, and as he's writing a Megillah, he's reading it out loud. Or a person who's teaching Megillah, and as he's teaching Megillah, he's reading out loud. And it happens to be that he reads the entire Megillah, and the question is if he's Yotze. That's one Rambam I want to touch base with you on. Oh, Joel is here. And I have those three pages that you can take, and we're about to start.
Okay.
You get yourself ready, and this is for you.
Thank you.
So the Rambam in that halacha addresses that question. Then we're going to have a different question in the Rambam, and that is about the mitzvah of Simcha and Mishta on Purim. How are those two different? Is it Simcha? Is it Mishta? Is it both? And finally, what I want to discuss tonight is an interesting Rambam about Su'udas Purim. Let's say you ate a Su'udas Purim at night. Could it be possible that you yotze the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim? So the first page I want you to look at is on Tav Chaf Vav. See if you can find that page. And the Rambam here is going to address the question of a person who read the Megillah without Kavana or with Kavana. Mm. So you have that page, Tav Chaf Vav? Okay, excellent. That's what I want to discuss with you. I mean, maybe we've touched upon it in the past, I don't know. But I don't think we ever tackled it, you know, head on. So the Rambam's Lashon is very interesting, which you'll see on the top of the page. Hakoreis HaMegillah below Kavana lo yatza. If I were to ask you, what is the Rambam Shita about mitzvah Srichas Kavana or Ein Srichas Kavana, what would be your answer based on this Rambam? Clearly, mitzvah Srichot Kavana, because the Rambam says Hakoreis HaMegillah below Kavana lo yatza. And the Rambam gives the following examples. Example number one, Ketzad HaYakosva. He's writing a Megillah. Or, example number two, Darsha. He's teaching the Megillah. Example number three, he's Magia Megillah. He's checking a Megillah to edit it, make sure there are no mistakes. And as he's writing the Megillah, or as he's Darshaning the Megillah, or as he's being Magia the Megillah, he reads every word of the Megillah. So the Rambam says, "In kivei libo, latzeis b'kriya zu." If he had an intention to be yotze his mitzvah with that kriya yotza, v'im lo kivei libo lo yotza. So again, clearly the Rambam seems to hold that mitzvah srichas kavana. However, the Rambam elsewhere, and we'll see this Rambam in a minute in Hilchas Chametz Matzah, seems to assume mitzvahs ein srichas kavana. The Rambam in Shofar, like reflecting what the Rambam says here in Megillah, maintains that mitzvahs srichas kavana. So with regard to Hilchas Shofar and Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, and this is what the Magen Mishnah points out, if you heard the Shofar from someone, unless you had kavana latzeis, so you're not yotze. It's not enough to hear the Shofar, you have to have kavana.
So, Rav, with the matzah, you just have to swallow it? That's enough, or not? With the
matzah? It seems like even if they forced you to swallow it, as long as you swallowed it, you yotze. You didn't have kavana for the mitzvah. So we're going to have to kind of figure this all out. But first, let's mention the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah claims that there would be no machlokes, whether mitzvah srichas kavana or not, with regard to Megillah. The Magid Mishnah claims that in Megillah, everybody agrees that you need kavana. And that's, his language is, hakol modim b'megillah. And why is that so? We don't know. So the Lecha Mishnah, who's a much later commentary, he tries to explain the Magid Mishnah. And he says that the difference between Megillah and other mitzvahs is that in Megillah, he didn't do any maisa, he didn't do any action. Are you with me so far? In other words, what the Lecha Mishnah is doing for us is he's splitting all the mitzvahs into two categories. One category is going to be a mitzvah sheva maisa, where he does an action, and they're lo bai kavana, you don't need kavana. But Megillah de lo kavid maisa, he doesn't do any action, it's not like eating matzah or shaking a lulav, they're bai kavana. You need kavana. Now again, the Lechem Mishnah is trying to explain the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah says that in Megillah there was never a machlokas, there was never an issue. Everybody agrees, even if I hold mitzvah srichas kavana, even if I hold mitzvah ein srichas kavana, in the case of Megillah, I agree that mitzvah srichas kavana.
Lekuli
alma. Lekuli alma. And why is that so, says the Lechem Mishnah in explaining the Magid Mishnah? That's because there's no maisa, there's no action. So we're going to have a machlokas with regard to lulav, and we're going to have a machlokas with regard to matzah, because in those cases there's an action, a matzah, and now you can debate whether you need kavana. The Rambam apparently is going to pass kibitzes ain't srichas kavana. So if I eat the matzah even without kavana, I'm yotzei. However, there was never a machlokas about those mitzvahs that don't have a matzah. For example, kriya samigila, where you're only reading something and you're not doing any action. Kriya Shema L'chor should be the same thing. In that case, for sure, I'd need kavana. Again, the situation is going to get complicated a little bit as we go along. But so far, what's clear is that we can classify mitzvahs under these two categories. Now, where would you put shofar?
Same category.
Say it again, Joel?
The same category.
Which? I have two categories. I don't know which is the same. You know, I never remember which is the same and which is the same.
Well, it depends if you're blowing it or
exactly.
Not.
Excellent. Yeah. If you're blowing it, that would be a mitzvah shema maaseh. Yeah. But if you're listening to it...
You're passive.
Is that what you meant to say, yeah. Joel? Then you're totally passive. Mm-hmm. There's no maaseh. So when the Rambam says that if you hear someone shofar, you have to have kavana, then according to the Magid Mishnah Lecha Mishnah combination, it would only refer to the Shomer. The Shomer who's trying to be Yotzeh and he's passive without a Maisa, he needs Kavanah. Wow. But the Tokea who's blowing the shofar, he wouldn't require Kavanah because his mitzvah is a mitzvah Shema Maisa. Again, the Shomer is not doing a Maisa and therefore he needs Kavanah. And that's why the Rambam is going to pass Kedil for shofar that you need Kavanah. In the case of matzah, or in the case, let's say, of lulav, where there's a matzah, you don't need kavanah. The Rambam is going to pass kibitzus ain't kavanah. In the case of kriya, then kriya is not considered a matzah. So kriya, in the case of Megillah, becomes like listening to the shofar, and in these two cases, the Rambam requires a matzah, and it could be that everybody would require a matzah, even if I hold mitzvahs ain't sukkahs kavanah, here I need kavanah. Why? Because there's no maisa. Did I make that clear? I'm not sure if everything I said made sense. I don't know. Now here he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes Rav Haigon. So we're really going back in time. And Rabbeinu Yonah has an objection on Rav Haigon. Rav Haigon writes, and this you'll see on the left column on top, that mitzvahs einam tzrichas kavana. And yet, and this is the objection raised by the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Gemara says in the Sefer Brachos that pasach bechamra v'siyeng b'shikra lo yotza. So he thought that he was drinking wine and he didn't realize that it was really beer. So he started his bracha with the intention of reciting Borei Priyat Gofen, thinking it was wine. And then, lo and behold, midway through his bracha, he figures out that, no, he's got sheikha, he's got beer in front of him. Again, to us, that's a little bit strange, how we can make that. But we have something called black beer. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Here in this country, it used to be very popular. I don't know, I haven't seen it recently.
It's possible.
So now, what happens if he finishes up and he says Shakol Niyem B'dvaro, but he started the bracha with the intention, the kavana of making Bar Priya Gofen? So the Gemara says he's not Yotze. So Ben Yonah says, how could Rav Hai God paskin that mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana? You see that the mitzvah needs kavana. Vitirates. Rav Ben Yonah answers the following: Afilu bishes sover she mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. Hani mili, that only applies b'davar sheish bo masa, and the maisa somehow replaces the need for kavana could go nitil slulav. But in the case of a bracha where he's just reciting the bracha and there's no masa, then everybody agrees that you need kavana. So therefore, on the one hand, I can paskin, for example, in lulav that mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, that would certainly be Rav Hai Gaon Shita. But on the other hand, in the case of a bracha, I certainly need kavana because the bracha doesn't have a masa to it.
That's how he explains the Gemara, where people say that he's not yotze.
Correct. And why isn't he not yotze? Because that was a bracha, and a bracha requires kavana, and so far it doesn't have a masa. But in the case of lulav, there Rav Hai Gaon is right that since you have a masa, it's therefore mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. However, now we have your kasha from before Binyamin. What about the case of Kriyat Shema? The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Yud Gimel that according to the man, the Yomar, who says mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana, then in Kriyat Shema you don't need kavana. Now wait a second. Kriyat Shema is the same as Bracha. Kriyat Shema is the same as Megillah, and it doesn't have a masa. Now, if that be the case, then everyone should agree that in Kriyat Shema you need kavana. And yet the Gemara says explicitly that if you hold mitzvahs einam tzrichas kavana, then even in Kriyat Shema you could be otzi without kavana. Now, how is that so? There is no masa. Not only that, what about the case of tkiyah? According to the logic of the Magid Mishnah and Lechem Mishnah, in the case of tkiyah, l'chora, he should be yotze because he has a masa tkiyah. And yet, the Gemara seems to assume that this issue of whether or not the tokeya has to have kavana depends upon whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or ain't tzrichas kavana. L'chora, in this case, everybody should agree mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana. Now, you know that the son of the Rambam wrote a book on the Rambam. His name was Rabbeinu Avram ben HaRambam. How'd you figure that out? And in the name of his sefer is the Birchas Avram. How'd you figure that one out? So, if you've ever seen, they have it sometimes on exhibit here in the Hebrew University, the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos. They have the original. And it's very cool because all around the sides, going around like this, are the additional comments of Rabbeinu Avram ben HaRambam in his own handwriting. So in the Birchas Avram, he tries to explain the Rambam. How could the Rambam, on the one hand, in the case of matzah, say that you yotze without kavana, and yet in the case of shofar, the Rambam passes that you need kavana? And he says the following: Bishofar ube megila tzrichim kavana lotzeis, ube kriyat shma vachilas matzah lo beinin kavana lotzeis. So look the way he splits it up. It doesn't seem to be reflective of what we said until now, because he's combining Kriyat Shema with Achilas Matzah. That's a little bit strange, according to everything we've been saying now, because Kriyat Shema and Achilas Matzah are two separate categories. In any event, he claims that according to the Rambam, you would be Yotze B'Kriyat Shema without Kavana, just like in the case of Matzah. But in Shofar and Megillah, you need Kavana. Now again, in Shofar and Megillah, we're talking about Shmiah. Again, I don't know about the Tokei himself, but at least as far as the Shomei is concerned, then maybe therefore you need Kavon. But let's see how the Birkas Avram develops. He says, HaMitzvahs Tavrinah Beit Mitzvahs Einom Tzuchas Kavona Mitzvahs Shekiyumon Be'asiyas Masa. Ah, interesting. Somehow, Kriyat Shema is considered a Masa, like Achilas Matzah. I don't know why. But in any event, he says a mitzvah that has a masa to it is eino tzrichas kavana. So we'll take matzah as our paradigmic case. So since the mitzvah has a kiyum basias maisa sheguf osa siya hi a mitzvah, kigon achila utvila ukriya. So let's get the three cases here. Number one, he has achilas matzah. That's certainly guf asiyah. The mitzvah is guf asiyah.
Yeah.
Number two, he has tefillah. Let's say a woman goes down to the mikvah. She doesn't need kavana because it's guf asiyah. And then he has kriya. And that's a reference to Kriyat Shema. And in all these cases, V'chayotze Behen, he says, etc., you don't need Kavana. Aval Shofar, look at this. And I think he's referring to the Tokea. Aval Shofar, hold the Guf HaMitzvah Shmias Kol. The mitzvah is not the tekiya, but rather the shmiya. That's why the bracha is l'shma kol shofar. The alma, meaning there's no mice at all, is kilo machaven, maika ovid min mitzvah. What makes the shmiya, which is passive, without an action, into a mitzvah? It's got to be the kavana. If you don't have kavana, there's no mice. So you can't talk about a mitzvah without kavana, in the case where there's no maisa. In the case where there's a maisa, at least we can look at the maisa. The enoka ochel matzah v'tovel. In the case of matzah and tefillah, and presumably I would assume he means kriyat shema as well. Afal pishlo kiven libo b'yes asiya. If you have an asiya like achilas matzah or tefillah, and he didn't have kavana kvar kiyam a mitzvah, he has already something. You know, you can sink your teeth into something that qualifies as a mitzvah, namely b'yes ha'asiyah. Sheguf ha'mitzvah sheyochal o sheyitpol. V'chei nami shomea megillah kishomea shofar. And just like we established in the case of shofar, that listening to the shofar is the mitzvah. And therefore it's a passive mitzvah without an action. So what's going to be the kiyum ha'mitzvah if there's no ma'isa? It's going to have to be the kavana. Same thing in megillah. The mitzvah is not the reading of the megillah, but rather the hearing of the Megillah. That's interesting. Again, if you would ask me, I would have said that there are two mitzvahs in Megillah. There's the mitzvah of Kriya and the mitzvah of Shmiya. Maybe the Bahag Sheet would be relevant here, who differentiates as far as ladies are concerned between the Kriya and the Shmiya. They're obligated in Shmiya but not in Kriya, but they're, as far as men are concerned, there's an obligation of Kriya. But he says, "V'chein nami shomea megillah kishomea shofar." In both cases, there's no ma'isa. Teda. Now I want to prove it to you. Says Rabbeinu Avram, "Delo hutzrachnu kore lechaven libo lotzes el shomea kriya samegillah bilvad." Whoa. This Rabbeinu Avram ben Aramam says the following. This was the svar that we want to distinguish in shofar between the tokeh and the shomeh. He applies it to Megillah, and he says that the requirement of kavana in Megillah is only relevant to the shomeh. The kore himself, he doesn't need kavana because he has a maisa, and kriyas haMegillah is like kriyat shema, and in both cases you have a maisa. It seems like he's saying the following. That there's a difference between shofar and Megillah. In the case of shofar, the mitzvah is what? Shmiya. The tekiya itself is just a means to an end. It's a conduit. It's a method of producing a kol shofar. But the mitzvah is to hear the kol shofar. You just have to produce a kol shofar. How do you produce a kol shofar? Through tekiya. But in the case of Megillah, the kriya itself is part of the Maisa Mitzvah. And therefore the Korei has a Maisa Mitzvah, he doesn't need Kavana. The Shomea has no Maisa Mitzvah. Because he's just listening passively, and therefore he must have Kavana. So again, in the case of Shofar, why is it that both the Shomea and the Tokea require Kavana? Why not say that the Tokea is doing a Maisa? And the answer, I believe, is that the Halacha doesn't validate or recognize the tekiya as a maisa. That's just a way of producing what? A kol shofar. And what's the mitzvah? Shmiya. Just to hear the kol shofar. It's a passive mitzvah. In the case of Megillah, the shmiya and the kriya are all part of one mitzvah. And therefore he equates koreas haMegillah with koreas haShema. You remember that before he said that koreas haShema has the same status as achilas matzah, and it doesn't require kavana. So a korei atzmo, the one who reads the Megillah, ain dino chomer midin korei kriyat shema. Diem kiven libo likros, all he has to have is kavana that he's reading. Again, if he doesn't have in mind that he's reading, you know, it's somehow, as he's fixing up a mezuzah, you know, he starts reading, but he doesn't even realize that he's reading it out loud. In such cases, he's not yotze, but as long as he has the basic kavan of what? Of kriya, then he's yotze. And that would be true both in the case of kriya shma and in the case of kriya samigillah. Because according to Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, kriya is considered like a maisa. So kriya and achilas matzah both fit into the same category. In contrast to shofar and the one who hears the Megillah, those are not yotze without kavanah because those do not have a maisa. But matzah, and for that matter kriya, for example, the korei samigillah and the korei kriyat shema, they have a maisa, and it's like tefillah and achila, therefore they don't need kavanah. Now one second. According to Rabbeinu Avraham, in Megillah, there's going to be a difference between the Korei and the Shomea. Wait a second, let's read the Rambam again. Mm-hmm. We read it once, let's read it twice. Yeah. The Rambam says, HaKorei HaSamegillah B'lo Kavana Lo Yatza. Ketzad, HaYekosva Odor Shomagia Im Kiven Libo Lotzeis B'Kriya Zu Yatza Im Lo Kiven Libo Lo Yatza. What could be more explicit than the Rambam here? The Rambam says that the Korei HaSamegillah requires Kavana. So that remains very difficult. If you take a look on page Tav Chaf Zayin, which I guess is the flip side of your page, he says, Kosav, the Rabbeinu Avraham says, the Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah sheyesh bo ma'aseh, kmo achilas matzah, and dafka shofar o megillah, ha-mitzvah shmiyas ha-kol lo chashiv ma'aseh. Vehine, in the next paragraph, ma'aseh kosav bidas ha-rabam shegam kriyas ha-megillah chashiv ma'aseh, She'elo tzricha kavana, v'rak v'shomea mikriya samigila, the one who listens, tzara kavana, v'nei de lo choshev ma'asa, shmi is not a ma'asa, but the kriya is a ma'asa. Tamua means it makes no sense, the Rambam kosev lehedja, the Rambam writes explicitly, afilu akori samigila, tzara kavana, lotzes, v'lo rak ha'shomea samigila. So this remains very, very difficult, very enigmatic. But what we have at least clearly, and we see it over and over again, whether it's the Magid Mishnah with the Lecha Mishnah, whether it was Rabbi Yonah to explain Rav Haigon and differentiate between brachos and other mitzvahs, whether it's with Birchas Avram and explaining the Rambam, there's always a consistent distinction between two categories of mitzvahs. There are mitzvahs that require a maisa, and there are mitzvahs without a maisa. Again, you have to define in each case what constitutes a maisa, but the general concept is correct. And then Afkamina is going to be Kavon.
The way that Rabbeinu Avraham he explained Maisa different than the Magid Mishnah with the Lecha Mishnah, right? He explained it differently what a Maisa is. That's why they were a bit different. In explaining the Rambam?
I'm not sure. I think the Magid Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah are pretty vague. They just say that Megillah is low of in Maisa. Which means that in case of Megillah, it's pure Shmir. And you see that reflected also in the Birchas Avraham, except the Birchas Avraham wants to claim that that's only as far as the Shomea. In the Magid Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, we don't see any distinction between the Koreas of Megillah and the Shomea. But whatever it is, in the case of Megillah, it's considered low Kavod Mice, and that justifies why the Rambam requires Kavanah. Now, in the framework of the Magid Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, and certainly in the framework of Rabbeinu Yonah, the assumption is that Kriya Shema is not a Maisa, and therefore you would require a Kavan in Kriya Shema. Except that Rabbeinu Yonah has a problem, because the Gemara seems to assume that the Magid Yonah's Mitzvah Saint Tzuchas Kavana would apply that to Kriya Shema as well, and yet Kriya Shema has no Maisa, and presumably everybody agrees when there's no Maisa, You require kavanah. Again, that's not a kasha in the framework of a Birchas Avraham, because the Birchas Avraham upgrades Kriyat Shema to a Maisa, and therefore makes sense that according to Mani Omu, who holds Mitzvah Saint Tzuchas Kavanah, you would not need kavanah in Kriyat Shema. So again, as I said before, there, in the nitty gritty details, which have to be ironed out, there are definitely subtle differences between the Magid Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah and Rabbeinu Yonah on the one hand, and the Birchas Avraham of Rabbeinu Avraham and Aram on the other hand. Would Kriya be considered a Maisa and it doesn't need Kavana? I don't know. According to one school of thought, Kriya is not called a Maisa. It's not radical enough, it's not profound enough, it's just speech. And therefore you're going to need kavana. Hence, Megillah needs kavana, even though you're a kore. Whereas Rabbeinu Avram turns it upside down and he says, no, kriya is no different than achilas matzah and tefillah is a maisa, therefore you don't need kavana. And therefore the Rambam would not need kavana for the kore of Megillah, which again is against the Rambam. But that's what he claims. So I don't know, maybe he had a different text in the Rambam, who knows? Maybe he had a discussion with the Rambam and at one point in the Rambam's life he felt like this. I don't know. I can't figure that one out.
He's his son.
Yeah, they used to probably learn together and fight together. So maybe he had a different tradition. I don't know. But now we have the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says that if the reader of the Megillah was deaf and he can't hear the Megillah, then if somebody hears his kriya, meaning we're talking about a cheresh who speaks, but he doesn't hear, and now somebody's listening to his Megillah reading, so the Rambam says, lo yatsa. Now, according to the Kesef Mishnah, this is a bit of a problem, because what do you mean lo yatsa? He heard the Megillah. So why shouldn't it be Yotze? He heard every single word of the Megillah. Let's say the Cheresh was an expert Kore, and he knew every single word. So why shouldn't you be Yotze? So here's where we have a major breakthrough. Because until now, we've been analyzing Kriyas HaMegillah from the perspective of all mitzvahs. And now the Kesef Mishnah wants to take Kriyas HaMegillah out of the bag. It's a unique mitzvah with its own regulations. Why? Because Shiny Megillah Devi'ina Persume Nisa. And what he's saying is the following, that the Cheresh, insofar as he doesn't hear the Megillah, that's not Persume Nisa. Persume Nisa means to hear the Megillah. The Shomea heard the Megillah, but he didn't hear it from Bar Chiyuva. And in Shulchan Aruch, we get a whole different impression. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tofresh Peites. If Haya Hakore Cheresh O Katan O Shote Hashomei Menu Lo Yotze, says the Mishnah Bura, Haynu Medaber V'Yenu Shomei Klal V'Afagav De V'Alma Kaimel Di'im Lo Hishmiel Li Ozno Yotze Hacha Le'inyan Megillah Dehu Mishum Persume Nisa Hichmiru Bo Yoser Dishmiel Li Ozno Huli Kuva. So it comes out that there's a separate requirement in Kriyas Megillah of Shmia. And if you're not capable of Shmia, or you didn't hear the Megillah, you're not Yotze. And why is that? Because of Pirsum Hanes. Pirsum Hanes is defined and identified with Shmia. Lefizeh Misha Kari Samegillah Yatzmo, he must be makbid to hear the Megillah. Lefizeh Nira De Logak Hashomea Chashiv Mitzvah Shein Bo Maisa Shetzar Kavod Alot Zitzvah Kiyim Af HaKori HaSamegillah Kevin Shetzar Chashmi El Yozno V'ilav Hochi Lo Yotza Chashiv Mitzvah Shein Bo Maisa L'Kuliyam Mitzar Kavod V'shum Hochi Shaper Posko Rav Da Kori HaSamegillah B'lo Kavod Lo Yotza. So the Gvuras Yitzchak wants to justify the Rambam by changing one important point deviating from Rabbeinu Avram in one important point. And that is the following. Rabbeinu Avram is willing to separate the Kriya in the Megillah from the Shmi in the Megillah. Mm-hmm. And he's willing to say that if one of the two, either the Shmi or the Kriya, would have a Maisa, then that's enough. And therefore, in terms of Kavana, we're going to make a distinction between the Shomea and the Kore. The Kore is Megillah is Yotze because he has a Maisa. And the Shomea is not Yotze without Kavana because he doesn't have a Maisa. That's in Rabbeinu Avraham. In the case of Mishnah, we can say the following, that since the Yisod, the purpose, the goal of Kriyas HaMegillah is Pirsum HaNes, therefore you have to hear the Megillah. And in order to generate a Shmias HaMegillah, you must have Kavana, because Shmias HaMegillah is Ein Bo Maisa. And here's where the Kesef Mishnah deviates from Rabbeinu Avram, and he says that even though you read the Megillah, You need a Shmias HaMegillah. And a Shmias HaMegillah is a critical part of the mitzvah insofar as the mitzvah is Pirsum HaNes. And your Shmias was a passive Shmias. In other words, he's willing to separate between the Kore and the Shomer. He's willing to separate between the Kriya and the Shmias. And he's going to tell you that when the reader reads the Megillah, he's one person, so to speak, and when he hears the Megillah, he's another person. Who does that sound like? Did you ever hear Sigmund Freud?
Yeah.
Schizophrenia. That's what it sounds like. There's a schizophrenia over here. We're splitting the person into two. He's the Kore, and then he becomes the Shomea. He takes two different seats. He sits in one seat as the Kore, and then he has to sit in a different seat as the Shomea. Now, when he sits in the seat as a Shomea, he has no Maisa. His Shmia is without a Maisa. And therefore, since Shmia is critical in the midst of Megillah, i.e., we identify Pirsum HaNes with Shmia, his Shmia without Kavana is meaningless because we say that in a mitzvah without Maisa, you must have Kavana. So let's read the last few lines again. Lefiz and Nire, the logak hashomea chashiv mitzvah shein bo Maisa, shitzar kavana lots. Ki im af hakorei es hamegila, kevan shitzar klashmi eliozno, is therefore, as far as the Shmi is concerned, it's considered a mitzvah shein bo Maisa, and everybody agrees you need Kavana, and therefore the Rambam passes that both the Korei and the Shomea are not Yotze. And I'll be honest with you, throughout both sides, my intuition leads me much more, I'm much more comfortable with Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, because Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam is saying the following, that there's a total mitzvah that is a synthesis, an integration of Kriya and Shmiya. Once one part of the mitzvah requires a Maisa, is the mail of the entire enterprise in the mitzvah, whether it's the Kriya or the Shmiya, is considered a mitzvah sheish bo Maisa. I'm not going to take the Kore and split him into two and say that to get a Shmiya he needs Kavana because Shmiya is ein bo Maisa. He already did his Maisa. He did the Maisa Kriya. Whereas the Kesef Mishnah says the Maisa Kriya is only meaningful as far as Kriya is concerned, but it doesn't set up a mitzvah of Shmiya. To set up a mitzvah of Shmiya, we're talking about a mitzvah sheim bo Maisa, and that's critical, and therefore we need Kavana. Again, if you ask me what is the Rambam hold like, it's the Kesef Mishnah is clearly correct, because the Rambam doesn't differentiate. On the contrary, the Rambam is outspoken that according to Megillah, velo whatchamacallit, velo kivein libo yotzeis is lo yotzeis. Now, I just want to take one more stab at this before we go on, because I have another two topics to cover with you tonight. And that is, look at the examples that the Rambam gives. Look at the scenarios. He's got three scenarios, and in all three he requires what? Kavana. What is the common denominator of all these three? Do you notice something? Like, let's say, for example, if I would ask you for a classic case of the absence of Kavana in Megillah, wouldn't it be the case where, let's say I'm walking into a room, they're reading the Megillah, let's say I have in mind that I will read the Megillah an hour later, or whatever have you, or I don't even realize that it's Purim, I think it's Hanukkah. And he didn't have Kavana Lotzeis. That's not the example the Rambam gives. The Rambam is not talking about the absence of Kavana here. There's something much more far-reaching in the Rambam. What's that? Brian, are you with me tonight?
Yeah, I'm
with you. What is common to all three cases? Can you answer that question, please? Save me here.
Mark, master?
No, what if you describe all these three cases? Let's go over the three cases. Mm-hmm. He's writing a Megillah, he's darshaning a Megillah, or he's editing a Megillah. What's common in all those three cases?
The Megillah.
The mitzvah.
No, I'm saying in terms of the relationship to Kavana, you know, is this a case where he's just absent Kavana? He's missing Kavana? Like I said to you before, I walk into a shul and I'm sitting there listening to Megillah, but I'm not in the least bit interested in being Yotze the Megillah. Why? Maybe I don't know it's Purim. Maybe I heard it already, or I'm going to hear it later, or maybe I'm Torud. My grandmother's not feeling well. I don't know what. You know what I'm saying? That's not the cases of the Rambam. What's common about all these three cases?
Concentration.
That he's involved in another Maisa. Not he's involved either in
learning, George,
in darshaning, or he's involved in being Magia, or he's involved in writing a Megillah. Well, that takes him out of the parsha. He's not just haphazardly hearing the Megillah without Kavana. No, he's reading the Megillah for a definite purpose, and that purpose is not for the mitzvah. That's a wild kind of a case. Imagine if, what should I say? I don't know. I picked up a lulav in order to hit a baseball, you know, or something. Hit a soccer ball. You know what I mean? What?
Rabbi, you sit the shofar blowing. You see people blowing the shofar, practicing all day long.
Practicing the shofar would, I think, fit exactly into this description. It's not a case where I walk by a shul and I hear the Megillah. I'm sorry, I hear the shofar, and my mind is not focused. You know, I'm not interested in the mitzvah. Let's say I'm on my way to a different shul. And he never makes it to that other shul.
Maybe on your way to a football game. I mean, you're not really interested now. You want to get to your football game. You come past the LC, and...
And you happen to hear the Megillah, or hear the shofar.
Yeah,
do you follow?
Yeah.
But again, was the shofar blowing meaningful for you? You're on the way to a soccer game. You're not interested in the shofar. Here, he's interested in reading the Megillah. Or in the case that you gave me before, he's practicing the shofar. He's blowing the shofar with a definite kavanah, but the kavanah is not for the mitzvah. The kavanah is for a totally different purpose. What that does is it completely undermines, it usurps the maisa from being a maisa mitzvah, because this maisa has another purpose to it. It's totally on a different pathway. And here the Rambam requires Kavana. Could it be that the Rambam would agree that if a person was sitting in the shul, he's dreaming, he's thinking, I'm going to go to a different shul for 50 million reasons, he doesn't have Kavana to be Yotze in the midst of Megillah, the Rambam would say he is Yotze. But if he's reading the Megillah for a definite purpose, and that's common to all the three scenarios that the Rambam mentions, then already he sets up his mice and defines it as anything but a mice of mitzvah Megillah. At least if I'm neutral, I hear the Megillah and I'm dreaming, but I heard the Megillah, but I didn't hear it for another purpose. Here, he's reading the Megillah for a different purpose. And now he needs Kavana to uproot the Kriya shall Ksiva, the Kriya shall Hagah, the Kriya shall Drash, in order to make it into a Kriya Sam Megillah. It's as if he has to take one mice and put it on another track.
To cancel the mice.
He's got to positively cancel his Maisa, so that now it becomes a Maisa of Kriya Samagil and Mitzvasa. But in the absence of Kavana, maybe the Rambam would hold, like he says by Matzah, that you Yotze. I don't know. Not sure. I'm just throwing out an idea. Right.
He's got to cancel the...
That's good. That's good, Brian, because now his kavana is for a different bracha entirely. If you ask him what he's preoccupied in, he's preoccupied in bar priyagofen. Now you want to change the nature of that bracha, you're in trouble. It's too late. Because the bracha is already on a track. It's on a bar priyagofen track. You want to change the track and change it into a shakal liyabidvara track, that you can't do. And therefore we're going to require kavana.
I think we talked about this example once. If you're a mechanech and you're teaching children to a kriyat shema, then you cannot be yotze on the kriyat shema itself if you have to say in the morning, because you're teaching them, right? You're
right.
Not yotze kriyat shema.
And that's similar to what we have here, Megillah, Darsha. He's reading kriyat shema, not the Torah's kriyat shema. He's reading it as part of the Torah, and he's teaching. You must have kavana. Why? Because otherwise the maisa is of a different nature. It's a different ilk. It has a different character. It's for a different purpose. He has a definite purpose. He's not like someone who's sitting there dreaming and he hears the Megillah. That doesn't bother me. And maybe the Rambam passes mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. Haraya, that's what the Rambam says in Hilchas Matzah, that mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. Now what I'm saying might be true if you hold that Kriya Samagil is a Maisa, but I don't even want to go that way. You know, I just want to say here that Vart, that maybe here you need Kavana because he's on the wrong track over here. He gave this Kriya a definite personality. Now, Rabosai, what I'd like to look at, let me just get out my little petek here, is page, where did I put the petek? Oh, here it is. Where'd you find that, Joel? I gave that to you?
Yes.
That's wild. I meant to give this to you. Holy Toledo. Okay. So now, we're taking a look at page Tuf Lamed Tes. Can you find such a page?
Yeah.
Okay. And do you see a paragraph, which is more or less the first, you know, whole paragraph on the page, that starts with Vitzarech Biur?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. The Rambam paskins that Seudas Purim Shasar Balaila Lo Yotzi Yedei Chovaso. Okay.
Which we hold the halacha, right, or not?
So that's accepted in halacha, and it's straight out of the Gemara. The Gemara quotes Rav as saying that if you eat a Seudas Purim at night, lo yotzi yedei chovaso. Now, the Rambam, at the beginning of this particular halacha that we're looking at, which I don't know if you have that, the pages, it's not important right now, but this is halacha yudalid. And the Rambam talks about the following scenario. We are in the Bnei HaKfarim, and then Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa, so they're going to read the Megillah, excuse me, on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel, correct? Yeah. Monday or Thursday. And the Rambam says that if on that day, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, or Yud Gimel, they did Simcha and Mishteh, Lo Yotza. Now watch what happens here. In the case of Seudas Asar Balaila, the Rambam says Lo Yotze Yedei Chovaso. In the case of Hikdim Simcha Umishter, the Rambam just simply says Lo Yotze. Now, the truth is, I would have read this Rambam a million times and never in my life would have noticed the difference. What's the difference between Lo Yotze and Lo Yotze Yedei Chovaso? So the Gurus Yitzchak wants to build castles in the sky based on this deal. He starts with the Beit Yosef in Siman Tofresh Tzadihe, and Rav Hai Gon was asked the following question. A man took an oath to fast on Purim. Is the oath binding and he has to fast on Purim or no? The oath is what we call Einish Bar Levatel Es HaMitzvah. The oath is completely null and void. Now, before we read the answer, what would have been your knee-jerk response if you were Rav Hai Gon? Again, if I was Rav Hai Gon, I'd change my name. I don't like the name Hai. Hai. Gon, I don't mind. They'll call me a Gon as well. You know, I'm okay with that. But Hai, I mean, like, you know. If you said to me Hai, I would say, hello. What do you mean Hai? Hai is for, you know, that's only for kids say Hai, but, you know, the adults say hello. You know, it's more formal. Anyway, his name is... So what would you do if your name was Rav Hai Gon? What would you say? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Whatever you say, you're right, because we're just guessing.
If you say that you're... Make it sound that you're fasting on Purim?
You take an oath, yeah, that you'll fast on Purim. Correct. So you and I would say, I think, that the oath is completely null and void. Oh, says Rav Hai Gon.
See, the Shmuel is the Raisa, and the Megillah is the Rabbanah.
Oh, very good, excellent. He says the following: Misha Nishba Lisanos bePurim, Ein Koach bMitzvas Purim, Lidchos Shem Shemayim. Now I don't know what he means by Shem Shemayim. A Shmuel is B'Shem. So maybe it means he's going to violate the name of Hashem, and that's the chil. You know, Shmuel is a pretty serious business. Lo Yanake, you know, and all that stuff. But then he says the following. This is the punchline. You ready for this? You got to tighten your seatbelts here. The Efshalo Lasso Seudas Purim Balaila. He only took upon himself an oath to fast during the day. Let him eat his Seudas Purim at night. In other words, there's no head-on collision here between the Shavuah and the Sudas Purim. So on the one hand, he says, you can't undermine a Shavuah for the sake of a mitzvah of Purim. Purim doesn't have the authority, the power to allow you to take the name of Hashem in vain and violate that Shavuah. But now he says even better than that. Even if you don't agree with me on that level, agree with me on a different level. He can be Yotzei as soon as Purim at night. Wait a second. The Gemara says in the name of Rava, Ochal Asudas of Alay Lo Yotzei Yedei Chovoso. Sarach Ian, the Megillah Daf Zayin of Beis Amar Rava Sudas Purim Shachol Balay Lo Yotzei Yedei Chovoso. Now please, if you like to underline pages, or words and pages, underline the words Lo Yotza Yedei Chovoso. You remember? Because we want to come back to the Rambam and figure out what does the Rambam mean when he says that if you ate a Sudas Purim, Lo Yotza Yedei Chovoso. And in the case where he ate his Suda a day before Yudalit, or maybe 3 days before Yudalit, the Rambam writes Lo Yotza. He doesn't mention Yedei Chovoso. So let's take a look at a Gemara in Perek Arvei Psachim, a Mishnah of Rabbi Gamliel. This is a very famous Mishnah because it's incorporated in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Eilu BePesach Lo Yotza Yedei Chovoso. Again, underline those words. Lo Yotza Yedei Chovoso. And that's Pesach Matzah Mara, correct? So what would you say if before we see the Ran, what does it mean Lo Yotzi Yedei Chovoso? Simply, before you see the Ran, please don't look ahead.
Maisa.
I can't hear you.
Something with the Maisa?
No. I'm just asking you simple, make believe you're a first grader, you're 6 years old, you're going to Cheder for the first time in your life, and I tell you that according to Rabbi Gamliel, if he doesn't say these three things, Pesach Hashem this, and Matz Hashem this, Mar Hashem this, Lo Yotzi Yedei Chovoso. What do those words mean, Lo Yotzi Yedei Chovoso?
It's the mitzvah.
Not fulfilled.
He didn't fulfill the mitzvah.
In Yiddish we say, it's Galish Welt. It's worth nothing. Binyamin, can you learn a little Yiddish here? See, this guy speaks Spanish, but he's an Ashkenazi. You speak Spanish or Ladino or whatever that language is in Holland. What's it called that they should speak it in Darton also in South Africa? What do they speak?
Afrikaans.
Yeah, but you're a Sephardi, right? So it's like a little bit funny that you're speaking Afrikaans, you're speaking Dutch, and you're a Sephardi. I mean, again, I guess the Holland was really a place for Sephardi because all the Portuguese Jews.
All the Jews went to Rome.
Yeah, all the Spanish Jews, they went to Holland because Holland was a bunch of Protestants, whereas the rest of Europe were Catholics and they didn't tolerate the Jews. Anyway, that's where my good buddy Rembrandt, lived he lived in the Borough Park of Amsterdam. We know the names of his neighbors. They were all Portuguese Jews.
All Jewish Hungarians.
Yeah, as Pinto and Rodriguez, all these Jews who ran away from, they were expelled from Portugal eventually. I mean, the expulsion from Spain was 1492, and the expulsion from Portugal, I think, was 5 years later, and they came to Holland. Now, why did Rembrandt live in a Jewish neighborhood? I don't know. But maybe he got cheap models for his paintings because the Jews were desperate for money, although some of the Portuguese Jews actually did very well. And there's a famous painting in the Met. It's called Homer Contemplates the Bust of Aristotle. And there's no question in my mind that Homer is a yeshiva bacher. Oh. It's one of the most famous Rembrandt paintings. If you look at his face, you'll see it. And Rembrandt was the only painter of his time who used European Jews to sit as Yashka, because he knew that Yashka was a Yid and that the Jews would have more of an accurate picture of what Yashka looked like. But of course the Christians weren't too happy about that. But in Holland you can get away with anything. I mean, way before they legalized marijuana in Canada, you can get away with anything in Holland. In any event, so now comes the Ran. Now, the Ran cannot tolerate this simple, straightforward pshat that if a person didn't say, Pesach al-Shema, etc., etc., he wasn't Yotze his mitzvah. Says the Ran, Klomar, what does it mean? Lo Yotze de Chovaso? Chovaso Karoi. Karaui. That's what the word Chovaso means. Not Lo Yotze. Lo Yotze means he wasn't Yotze. And let him start from scratch. But here it says Lo Yotze Yede Chovaso. What does Lo Yotze de Chovaso mean, Rabbi Osari? It means Karoi. He hasn't fulfilled his obligation, Karoi. If you don't mind closing the door, because I can't hear myself think. Okay? Lo Yotze de Chovaso Karoi. Oh. Says the Ran that whenever you see the phrase Lo Yotze de Chovaso, it means Karoi. Udekavase, says the Ran, I'll bring you a proof. The Gemara says in Sukkah Daf Chav Ches, Im Kein Ayisa Noeg, Lo Kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. What does that mean? Lav dafka. It doesn't mean though you come to... Again, I'd have to open up the Gemara and Sukkah because I don't remember the details now. Ulefi zeh. Now let's take the Ran and plug it back into Rava. Rava says in Masech the Megillah, Daf Zayin Amid Beis, Suda's Purim Shachla Balayla. What does he say? Lo Yatsi Yidei Chovato. What does it mean according to the Ran?
Karaui.
Ah. If that be the case, Rabbi Osai, that sheds a whole new light on Rabbeinu Hai. Mm-hmm. You remember our good buddy Rabbeinu Hai? Yeah. Says Rabbeinu Hai, if you took a shvua not to eat on Purim, No problem. When are you going to eat Yesuda?
So eat at
night. The Gemara says, Omer Rava, Achal Sudas of Alayla Loyatsi Yidei Chovaso. The answer is, Rava means Lo Yotze Yidei Chovaso Karoi.
But still,
you know, if all things are ideal, if you don't have a problem with the Shmuel and Shem Hashem, then you'll eat the Suda by day. But if you have a problem, let's say a guy's going out on a trip, and he'll be flying in the air. I don't know, today you get food in the air, but let's say he's on an IDF helicopter on Purim. I don't know. They're not serving meals over there in the helicopter. So let him eat his Suda at night.
That's
a pella, is it not? But if you accept the Ran, then Rava's statement takes on a whole different meaning. And therefore, if you ate the Suda at night, you would fulfill your mitzvah. And if that be the case for both sides, let's go back to the Rambam. The Rambam, in two cases, tells me Lo Yotze. But in one case he says Lo Yotze de Chovaso, and in the other case he says Lo Yotze. If the man eats his Sudas Purim on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, when he reads the Megillah, as one of the Bnei HaKfarim B'Yom HaKnisa, says the Rambam, Lo Yotze, period. But when he gets to the case of Achla Sudaso Balayla, the Rambam says what? Lo Yotze de Chovaso. According to the Ran, why did the Rambam feel compelled to add those two words? Hi! Because the Rambam holds like Rav Hai going, and what does Rav Hai going hold? That you are Yotze the mitzvah of Megillah of Sudas Purim, but Lila, because the Lila of Purim is also part of Purim. Yeah. The Eish Lama, the Rambam Sover at the end of this paragraph, Ulam Kishitas Rav Hai, Ulakach Abi Hiktim Hasimcha VaMishta. He didn't eat the Simcha. He didn't do the Simcha and the Mishta on Purim, meaning on Yudalid. So the Rambam says Lo Yotze. What does Lo Yotze mean? Worthless, garnish verit. Lo Yotze klal. Masha Ein came when the Rambam formulates the Halach of Sudas Purim Shasov Balayla. The Rambam says Lo Yotze Yidei Chovaso. Here we're going to plug in the Ran and we're going to say Lo Yotze Yidei Chovaso Karoi. Pilei Ploim, Rabosai. A little diuk that, again, I could read the Rambam 1,001 times and never even blink about it. And it changes my whole understanding. My wife, Tzolzayn Gesund, when we were serving as the heads of a yeshiva called the Vaseret, I don't know how many people heard of a Vaseret. I was Rosh Yeshiva there for 18 years. And every yeshiva guy knew, it was a legend from year to year, about Leil Purim, what my wife used to do for the guys on Leil Purim and the punch. And the pina colada, if you're a Spanish guy, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I was always wondering, wait a minute, Suda Balaylo Yotze Yidei Chovaso. But maybe, according to this, Lama Freya, now retroactively, for the 18 years that I served in Mamaseret, maybe all those Suudos at night were really meaningful.
So
So that's what he says over here.
You're tzedak b'diavad, or
correct. I mean, it's not the way you have to do it. Obviously, Rava says olchel suda balai lo yatzei dechovoso, but it's going to be a nafkamin in a case, like I say, he's on a helicopter on the daytime, or it'll be a nafkamin in a case, again, this is a very relevant case to all of us, if you take a shvua not to eat anything on Purim, right, very relevant case, right, every Yankel Beryl takes a shvua that he'll fast on Purim, right, the guy's got to see a... he's a loco moco. This guy, he needs help. You know, to take a shvuah not to fast on Purim. My gosh!
But even in that case, he could eat at night.
Oh, so that's what comes out.
But
the mela, what I gain by this, Brian, is that now I understand the Rambam's change in language. I mean, if you eat as soon as Purim on your Aleph, your Beis, your Gimel, that's not Purim
at all. Yeah.
And therefore, lo yotza. Period.
Which we also learned a few weeks ago, right? The only thing you're allowed to do is kfarim is the begilah. All the other mitzvot you cannot do.
Correct. All the mitzvahs are shifted.
Yeah.
Right. Only the kriyas ha-begilah. Maybe matanas avyonim. Oh, now Rabosai, we don't have too much time, but I want you to take a look at pages Taf Lamed Vav and Taf Lamed Zayin. The Rambam paskins that mitzvahs yom arba sol lebnei kfarim vayoros v'yom chamisha sol lebnei krochim lios yom simcha u'mishte. Now once again, it's a very subtle but meticulous pay attention to the Seder Hadvarim here. What comes first, simcha or mishte?
Simcha.
The Rambam has simcha first. The Rambam repeats himself a little bit later on. He says, "Hasimcha v'mishne in osanosa el biyomar basar." And it would seem that the basic chiyuv is simcha. And if you ask me, what is the chovas hayom, the essential obligation of Purim? It's simcha. And the Rambam holds that simcha is an entity unto itself. In addition, he has something called mishte. But mishta l'chud and simcha l'chud are two separate independent entities. Mm-hmm. And what's the nafkamina? See, if the Rambam had started with mishta and then gone into simcha, you would say that his simcha inheres in the mishta. The mishta itself is the simcha. But no, the Rambam says simcha as a separate entity. Purim is the day of simcha. That's the kiyum hayom. And therefore, the Rambam says that there are many, many different ways of experiencing simcha. Some of them, honestly, I find very, very peculiar. Mm-hmm. A man wearing a dress, I don't know, I don't go for that. But partsufim, I mean, that's not too bad. We were in Venice, my wife and I, we were thinking of buying these masks. Yeah. The only thing is, the mask itself would have cost me more than the flight from Israel to Venice. So I decided I'm going to go to one of these cheapo stores here down the block for 59 shekel, you can get a mask. And he says, "Ein iser b'davar." Normally, for a man to wear a woman's clothing is a lav d'oraisa, but the Rambam says it's okay. Again, many people are against it, but the Rambam says is okay with it because his kavod is l'shem simcha. Obviously, l'shem simcha means that he's running around on Purim. Like I had a Talmud who ran around in a gorilla suit. He's now a Rosh Hashiva, by the way, and he was directing traffic on Ben Yehuda Street. Wearing a gorilla suit, and little did he know that he had hepatitis. We found out later that he had hepatitis. He was sick like a dog, but he didn't feel anything on Purim. He felt like a gorilla on Purim. But that's a different kind of simcha. Not only that, the Rambam says that if I damage you on Purim because I'm so simchadik and maybe I'm a little bit tipsy, then I don't have to pay you damages. So if you guys, if there's anyone you want to get back at, then and you want to destroy who knows what, get drunk on Purim and just destroy everything, because he can't, according to Rambam, at least he can't sue you in a court of law for damage. In any event, you see that there's a chiyuv simcha, and the chiyuv simcha is an independent chiyuv simcha. And perhaps the chiyuv simcha according to the Rambam is very similar to what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yontif Perek Vav, when he defines the yom itself of Yontif as a yom shel simcha v'samachta v'chagecha, and the Rambam seems to imply that every single moment of a Yontif you have a chiyuv simcha, and the chiyuv simcha of Yontif is not how should I say, concentrated in the Seuda. You know, you have to eat two Seudas on Yom Tov, fine, but the Simcha is all encompassing the entire day. And in Purim, if we say the Ikar Chovas Hayom is Simcha, then it's like the Simcha of Yom Tov, and it's not limited or pinpointed or restricted to the moment of Mishteh. Mishteh is a separate Chiyuv. You have to be Mekayim Mishteh, but that has nothing to do with Simcha. I mean, it has to do with Simcha. It's certainly one of the various expressions and Kiyuvim of Simcha, but it's an obligation unto itself.
That's why it was mentioned separately and before Mishteh.
Yeah. Now, where is, what is this, Tav Lamed Vav?
Yeah.
Oh, shucks. Where is the one? Oh, shucks. What time is it? I'm kind of like desperate here. There's another piece, and I think I forgot to. Oh, I didn't give you Tav Mem. All right, so both sides. I'm going to give you Tav Mem. Open the door so you'll hear Baruch. I already davened. And if there's anyone here already davened, you can stay on a little later, because the next thing I want to show you is very fascinating to me. The Rambam says, what is the chiyuv of Mishteh? And he says, Ketzad chova se'uda zushe yochal basar v'yisakein se'uda na kefi asher timtze yado. The Rambam says, as much money as you have, you know, if you're a rich guy, spend that money to enhance your su'uda. And the Torah codifies this in Sima Tofresh Sadi. Hey, Mitzvah Harbos Besuda, this Ribui Suda on Purim, the Meiri writes in Megillah, that Chayav Adam Laharbos Beachilu Beshesia Achelo Yichoselo Shum Dover. Wow, for some of us, me included, I mean, that's like endless, you know, Achelo Yichoselo Shum Dover. Where is the source for this? The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Zayin Amid Beis that Abaye on Purim Ki Nofik Mi Bei Mar Havi Savana, and the Gemara describes how much they ate on Purim and how much they drank. I mean, it's ridiculous. They had 60 barrels. I don't even want to go into it. So we see that there's a source for Ribui Simcha Ad Shelo Yichaser Shum Davar. That's the language of the Torah of the Meiri. Ad Shelo Yichaser Lo Shum Davar. It's like unbelievable. And the Baal Amar says in Psachim that the Yisod, the goal of Mitzvahs Mishteh on Purim, is Pirsum Anes. Now, what's the connection between eating and drinking endlessly and Pirsum Anes? Can anybody guess? Right, we're talking about Mishteh on Purim. What miracle do you associate, what entity or enterprise in Megillas Esther do you identify with the Mishteh of Purim?
The Mishteh of
Achashverosh, state in Pasuk, it says like this, V'yein Malchus Rav, Kiyad HaMelech. What does Rav mean? There was endless amount of wine. V'ashtia Kedas Ein Ones. The Gemara Megillah says that the shtia was even less than the achila. Kedashel Torah, Madashel Torah, achila merumah mishtia. Haredev v'sudosu shachashvesh oisa shtiyosu kol kach merumah v'achilos afil yosem merumah mishtiyosu. Is mishum hachi chivu chachomim laharbos b'seuda kefi asher timtze yodo shel yichoselo klum kidei shei nizkar b'nes hagodol b'suda gedolah shel achashverosh. So that's on page Tav Lamed, Tav Mem, and I'm sorry I somehow on my page here I forgot to photocopy. So let me thank everyone for joining me and wish everyone a good night. And let's just review what we learned tonight. We spoke about Kavana, we spoke about the concept of Lo Yotzi Yedei Chovaso in Sudas Purim, we spoke about someone who eats his Sudas Purim too early. We spoke about Ribui Suda, and I'm not sure what else I left out. But we spoke about a lot of different inyanim. Good?
So the Ribui Suda is also to enact the certain part of the...
Exactly, because as a result of that Mishnah, the whole Simcha of Purim, the whole Nes of Purim, Vashti was thus, and then Esther was replaced, and she saved Klal Yisrael. Okay.